Hello and welcome back to Reality Check. I've recently friended quite a few more people on Facebook, so there's the potential that a few more people hopefully will maybe be listening this week. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. After listening to this, I urge you to check out some of the other episodes. I've already listed out what I think are the important ones, but I would be interested in hearing which episodes others think are interesting. For instance, my episode on jealousy was fun to record, but I didn't expect it to be very universal. But I've received more than a few comments on it since posting, and I'm a little surprised just how many people grapple with it. So using that as a case in point, if you have a topic that you think I've neglected due to my own personal blind spot, let me know. And speak of the devil, that's precisely what someone did this past week when they asked me to talk about anger. It's something I almost never feel personally, but that's a bane to so many people's existences. So let's dive in. Okay, first thing we need to establish is where does anger come from? If you haven't done so already, please go listen to episode 11, which deals with the concept of control, because this happens to be one of those cause-effect type relationships. The cause of anger is always a feeling of being out of control. Sadness also shares the same cause, and I'll talk more about that in a bit. And it's important to note here that feeling a lack of control can be justified or unjustified, meaning you could feel as angry at something you legitimately don't control as something that you do have control over, but feel impotent to exert that control. So if a perceived lack of control is the cause, what is anger trying to solve? It really comes from a place of might makes right. It's a form of escalation, whereby you're either trying to out-emotion your adversary, or if your adversary is nature or happenstance, you might use anger to get other people's attention in an attempt to recruit help to your struggle. These are, of course, rational explanations for the underlying psychology of the emotion, but almost no one consciously thinks this way during an angry episode. Most people just experience that lack of control and start screaming in their own heads, which is what leads to the outward screaming or violence or whatever else. It's important to note that while anger, you know, that inward feeling, that screaming in the head, is a natural reaction for human beings, especially children, the outward projection of that anger, especially past the teen years, is a learned behavior. Yelling, accusing, baring teeth, squinting eyes, these are tools that some people develop, especially as a way of manipulating people. From childhood on, if we get positive reinforcement from those behaviors, we'll continue using them into adulthood. And for all the non-psych majors out there, positive reinforcement means a response that reinforces the initial action. The positive in that term doesn't mean like happy or good, it means expected. For instance, someone might use anger not as a means of making the other person back down, but as a means of starting a fist fight. Fist fights aren't a good thing, but if the angry person wanted that fight, and his anger got it for him, that's still positive reinforcement. That's how all coping mechanisms form and cement themselves in our minds. However much positive reinforcement we received in our lives for the actions we've taken, that's how much we will rely on those coping mechanisms in the future. As I mentioned earlier, sadness, and its extreme variant, depression, is a twin brother of anger. They both start from the same place of a perception of lack of control, but whereas anger seeks to overpower other people and things through brute force, sadness goes the other direction. It's the puppy that realizes it's completely overmatched, and instead of fighting, rolls over on its back and exposes its belly in an attempt to show how defeated it is. Anger seeks to control through destroying enemies. Outward sadness seeks to control through sympathy and charity. But again, that's almost never the conscious thought behind it, merely the way in which it subconsciously develops as a tool or a coping mechanism. So that's sort of the broad overview of anger, but what do we make of it? Is it a bad thing to get angry? Should we try to never feel it? If we do feel it, does that make us wrong? There are really only two questions to answer here. What are you angry about, and will being angry about it help? Back in episode 7, I detailed the proper use of emotions. They're the fuel that should drive us forward. Anger makes for a great fuel. Indeed, if we keep up this analogy, anger is the most combustible, most explosive fuel there is, which means it's the one you're most likely to get the biggest boost from. I always say that getting angry at the status quo in your life is the best starting place to enact real change. If you're angry that you're not being paid what you know you're worth, you can ride that anger into your next round of job searches. If you're angry that you've been cheated on by your boyfriend or girlfriend, you can use that anger to leave that relationship with a clear conscience. Anger is a wonderful motivator, especially when it forces you into problem-solving mode. You think, this isn't the way things should be, I need to make them different now. But notice two things about what I just said. First, the anger remains an emotion. It doesn't result in an immediate outward blow-up or rage. Second, the anger is shunted into a rational use, one of problem-solving and control. The last thing you want to do is take that canister of highly flammable fuel and drop a lit match into it. All you would get is fire and shards of metal flying in all directions. Meanwhile, your car still isn't moving. So if anger is a great fuel, how do you keep it from exploding? Well, the first thing people will tell you is that blowing up, and I'll just refer to that as rage, that rage feels good. And that's a hard thing to counter, because if something feels good, why bother stopping? Well, rage is very much like a drug. It feels good in the moment, or at least in the immediate moments afterwards, but usually ends up hurting you long term. But it's also like a drug because it's mimicking something else. Drugs feel good because they artificially release dopamine in your brain, which simulates extreme happiness or lack of stress or whatever else. Getting high is a false replacement for actually feeling happy. Similarly, rage is a false replacement for exerting true, meaningful control in your life. So if, as you're growing up, just like getting addicted to drugs, if you start getting addicted to rage, it can be extremely hard to quit. It feels good because you've taught yourself to feel good about it. If you could slow that explosion down and really take a look at how you're actually feeling during it, you would discover it's actually the opposite. When you're in a rage, your blood pressure raises, your muscles strain, your breathing becomes labored, and most importantly, you're pretty likely screaming in your own head something like, you know, I hate everything. Now, I can't imagine anyone viewing that objectively and thinking, yeah, that's a good time. So the first thing you have to tell yourself is that however you convince yourself that you feel after the rage, the truth is that it sucks. And on top of all of that, aside from getting nothing accomplished, you're probably also completely drained, emotionally and physically. So afterwards, nothing is really getting done either. So let's say that we've gotten to the point where we admit that while it might feel good to get high on rage for a few moments, it's ultimately self-defeating. How do you stop that cycle? Well, the first thing to do is approach that rage with a different perspective. Don't worry about changing it overnight, but instead, the next time you fly into a rage, afterwards, don't revel in how good it feels to get it all out, but rather think about how little you accomplished, how awful it felt while you were inside of that explosion, and how gross it feels to exert so much energy and have nothing to show for it. And it may take a few blow-ups to really start accepting that change in perspective, but over time, rage should start to feel hollow and pathetic, like a heroin addict shooting up as he watches all of his friends get married and have kids and careers. Once it starts to feel hollow, that's the time when you can go one of two directions. You could slip into sadness, leading to depression. After all, your primary control coping mechanism is gone. Or you can decide that instead of impotent rage, you'll replace that with meaningful problem solving. Or in the case of interpersonal relationships, you'll start to realize that raging at the other person never works, so let's try putting a spotlight on yourself and see where you can affect change. This is a really tough habit to kick, make no mistake. Even after you understand why you react to life in this way, it's still a hard road to rewire your mind to avoid falling into the same patterns over and over. If you think some of what I've detailed here describes you and you want some guidance in finding your way out of it, let me know. Or you could seek out a cognitive behavioral therapist. Either way, rage is something that can only ever hurt you long term and should be eliminated as soon as possible. Anger, on the other hand, use as directed. If you aren't sure whether you're feeling good anger or bad anger, or whether all anger is bad, or anything else, just forget all that. All you have to ask yourself is this anger pushing me towards better outcomes, towards conquering my fears, towards problem solving? If the answer to that is yes, then good for you, it's doing its job perfectly. Don't fret over attaching labels to it, just make sure it's leading you towards rational results and achievement. And where it's not, adjust your view of it accordingly. All right, that about wraps it up for this week. Welcome again to any new listeners, and I look forward to talking to you all again next week.